This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Ladies, big show. The mics are on, gentlemen. Mics are on, gentlemen. Leroy Butler, Gary Owens.
That's what the red button means?
That's what the red button means.
I didn't know this all this year. I didn't know the red button means it's hot.
No, it means stop talking.
That's outside. My red button means say what you want. My mic open. Yours need to be closed.
Leroy Butler, Gary Ellers, and Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Baby Tosh with you until 6. You can call us at 414-799-1250. Sparky, last week, Zach Lowe, VSPN.com, and also up at 1057FMTheFan.com is where the story is linked, and that's where you should go. Also, if you miss a second, you should go to 1057FMTheFan.com of any of the shows here and go to Fan On Demand and check out the podcast brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Jason Kidd was fired from being the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks right around a year ago to the day. And Zach Lowe details in an article talking about Chris Middleton some of the things that a lot of Bucks fans, and you being the host of the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, will be on tonight after Bucks.
No, the best postgame show.
The best postgame show in the city, which is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show presented by Screamin' Sicilian Pizza. And it'll be on tonight after the Bucks take on the Chicago Bulls. That Jason Kidd gets a lot of criticism in this city, and a lot of people believe that Jason Kidd might be the worst basketball coach ever because of how everything fell out with the Milwaukee Bucks. And Chris Middleton doesn't seem to be a reason why he gets a whole lot of credit. It usually goes to Giannis, but there's some details to Chris Middleton's story in the past that Jason Kidd got a lot out of that guy.
You know, and that's the one thing, and we talked about this article last week about Lowe and his deal, Zach Lowe talking about Jason Kidd and the connection that he had with Chris Middleton, and Middleton really giving back credit to Jason Kidd. And he talks about during a late December practice in 2014, Kidd ripped Middleton in front of the team, telling him that he sucked, the two recall. That was our first encounter, said. You always remember your first encounter. Kidd pushed Middleton to get better at everything, defend harder, hone his passing, bully smaller guys in the post, get more comfortable going right, going left against his father might have tilted him too far, and shoot more threes. Middleton was versatile enough to do it all. Pearson, his high school coach, favored positionless basketball. He refused to label Middleton and urged him to play all over the court, including in the post after his growth spurt. He resisted, Pearson says, but I wasn't going to pigeonhole him. He resisted Kidd's begs, or whatever you want to say, to shoot more threes, too. Middleton tried fewer than four per game. Kidd dared him to double his attempts in some games. I was stubborn, Middleton says. He blossomed anyway. Middleton averaged 18 points in the 15-16 season and received all-star consideration. And then, of course, he got hurt the next year. It's interesting because, you know, archaic basketball of Jason Kidd, and they should be shooting more threes and this and that and every other thing. And, oh, he wouldn't let Giannis shoot threes. How could he? Giannis could have been great as a three-point shooter had Kidd let him shoot threes earlier. I'm not there. Sorry. But here's a prime example of a guy that he was telling to shoot double the amount of threes that he was shooting, and he just simply said, no, my mid-range jumper is what this is all about, and that's what I'm going to shoot. And I'll shoot a couple threes for you, coach, but I'm not shooting a bunch going away from what I'm really good at. And then in comes Boonholzer, who says, you're going to go away from what you're really good at. We're not going to worry about the mid-range anymore, and you're going to shoot a bunch of threes. Now, this having been
music to my ear,
the second coach now that has told him he's got to shoot more threes, And begrudgingly, I think he's accepted the fact that this is how they're going to play.
Absolutely.
Which is fine because they're winning. And at the end of the day, that matters. Now, what happens when we get into playoffs and we're talking about money being on the line for him or for Bledsoe or for some of these other guys then are really going to be pushing to earn more money based on a great postseason performance? We'll have to wait and see. But you've heard Giannis praise Jason Kidd and what he meant to Giannis. You haven't heard really anybody else talk about it. Now out comes Chris Middleton saying, look, if he doesn't push me to do everything at a better rate than I was doing it at, probably not the player I am today without Jason Kidd being there to nudge me in the right direction. I think this definitely helps Jason Kidd get another job, if nothing else, get another opportunity somewhere else. And I think there are people in this league that realize what he was doing with what he had was pretty impressive. Now, getting him to the next step, not really wanting to open up the offense as much as Boonholzer has, somewhat refusing to change the defense that him and Coach Sweeney believed in, his assistant coach, and being stubborn about that cost him his job at the end of the day. But I just think this dude doesn't get enough credit across the board for what he did here as a member of the Bucks, as being a head coach. I realize a lot of you wanted him fired in the last year or two, and I get it. But to say that he was a horrible coach and he didn't do anything good for this team or for anyone, I don't believe that at all.
Gary, do you believe that Jason Kidd deserves more credit than he gets from Bucks Nation for what the team is now?
Of course he does, and I've said this all along, but nobody really wants to talk about it or give him credit for it at all. I mean, if you think about now, Jason Kidd was a different kind of coach in that he was just pretty much what this article just said. Steve just he called him out in front of everybody, and that's kind of that old school thinking, and a lot of guys can't handle that. What's starting to leak out right now is that Giannis could handle it. Looks like Middleton could, but bucked the system, didn't want to accept coach. I mean, there was a lot of things going on with and I know nobody's going to respond to this because I know all you people, you hate Jason.
Oh no,
Kidd.
People are responding already.
I know folks are not going to respond.
The mentions are heating up. Yeah.
And I know y'all don't like him, and I get it, because when you don't like somebody, you automatically take that side. I get it. Jason Kidd, you know what this feels like to me?
What does it feel like, Gary?
This also almost feel like Mark Jackson when he was with Golden State, and now when Jason Kidd, and then you got Budenholzer come in, you got Steve Kerr come in, and then you see the elevation of the team, though, with another coach, but although someone else laid the foundation. But another guy, I'm not Budenholzer get credit, but another guy took some of those parts and created what was there and created into what you have now. I want to be straight 100. I don't know if Jason Kidd could have done what Budenholzer has done right now with this team. Straight 100.
So do you believe some of this was Jason Kidd at wit's end?
All these guys at the end of the day.
Sounded like dudes just didn't want to listen to him at
their point. They needed for Jason Kidd to go away and for Budenholzer to come. It just works out. For Budenholzer to come in. Now, I'm sure Budenholzer is probably saying same thing Jason Kidd said, but not in that fashion.
Now, Chris tweets at the fan, what is Sparky not concepting? Kidd's systems on both ends were terrible. Didn't I say that?
Yeah.
Kidd called out, calling out Chris in a meeting is bullcrap. I don't have a problem with it. You can get called out in your job all the time. That's part of being an employee of somebody. Chris was a hard worker in Detroit and is the same here. I don't know if you didn't read the article or not by Zach Lowe, but maybe you should go back and read the article. Kidd wanting him to be well-rounded is admirable, but it's also coaching. So the things Kidd did good, Chris is saying, well, every coach would have done the exact same thing. It's not a big deal that Jason Kidd did it. Every coach would have called him to the carpet, even though Chris doesn't like him being called to the carpet. That's bull crap. But then Chris saying, Middleton saying that a little fire under his butt in that article and pointing out all the things that Jason Kidd got him to do because he had the fire lit under his butt, that's just coaching. That should not be given credit to Jason Kidd. Like, I get that y'all hate him. Like, I totally understand it. But now this is the second best player on this team now, who both have had Jason Kidd, who both now give credit to Jason Kidd.
Right, because we heard Giannis right away and the reports that he was going to go and try to save Jason mm-hmm. Kidd's job, right?
Yep.
Was that Ramona Shelburne that came out and said
right.
he was going to call management and try to
make
get
a
him
call for you. Yep.
Not get fired. And Gary, to your point, it seems like sometimes in the pro game when you're talking about 23, 24-year-old guys that are still developing, that these things just naturally happen, that sometimes the message just gets too stale and just need something new.
It does. And then I think Budenholzer came at the right time. I mean, it's sometimes those things happen and then you move on. And I think guys, I mean, of course we're talking about system, and yes, the system is different on Coach Bud right now than what you had with Jason. So, and I think that helped. But I mean, you in that article, Steve, I mean, you read it, and I heard you read the article, and I didn't turn the radio off on my day off, but I heard you say this. Middleton, I mean, he wanted Middleton to shoot 7 threes a game.
He was suggesting 8 threes a game, and Middleton refused because he wanted to take his mid-range jumpers, and then Kidd gets blamed for it
right
at the end of the day. And everybody wants to give Middleton the free pass for not listening to his coach.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that crazy or what?
Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you Middleton probably wasn't the only one not listening to Jason Kidd and doing what they wanted.
And that's why we had that friction.
And I just heard Steve Kerr the other night in a post-game presser. They were talking about Golden State and what's going on there. He said, well, guys not knowing what the plays are. Guys not hustling on both sides of the floor, not getting back in transition, defense, everything else. Now, this is Steve Kerr, like, great coach, apparently. That's Steve Kerr, and his own guys are tuning him out right now, doing what they want to do at this point. And he's lost control a little bit of the Golden State locker room based on what he said in the post-game press conference. So this happens across the National Basketball Association. And then at the end, remember, it was, well, he's not coddling the players enough. He's not putting his arm around them and patting them on the butt and telling them how great they are. Very well could be true. And very well could have burned him out. You know, Scott Skiles was the guy that would come in for 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
He'd be great the first couple of years, burn you out. And then he'd have to go, and they'd have to go find somebody else. So maybe that's what Jason Kidd's mantra will be in the NBA. He's a good coach to come in, get you from point A to point B, and then that next coach has to be the guy to finish the job off, per se, and get you over the hump that you couldn't get over with Kidd.
Leroy, does this seem familiar, the coaching style that Jason Kidd employed on Chris Middleton in that meet, in that practice where he just comes up and says, hey man, you suck right now?
See, I think there's a little correlation with Mike McCarthy, because you wanted Mike McCarthy to do that with Aaron Rodgers, just kind of go at them a little bit. And sometimes coaches don't like to do that. But when players, the second time leader all in assists, Jason Kidd, who became a very good three-point shooter towards the end of his career.
Through hard work.
He brings a lot of credibility to everything he talks about. But the way he got this particular job, a lot of people didn't like that. So a lot of people held on to that. How you basically had a coach, you went and had some owners come in, and they went out and got their guy, and you already had a head coach. So some people may say that's just karma. But let's get past that. Let's talk about the coaching aspect. When you have a coach tells you you're bad, it's different from a guy who's a Hall of Famer, who's played point guard the way it's supposed to be played. He knows what he wants. You're not offended. But if a coach tells you that, who's never played the game, who's kind of studied it, who's out 18 hours a day while you're out partying, putting the time in, tells you that you're bad, why is it different? It shouldn't matter, really. But for the most part, I would say I wasn't a big fan of what Jason Kidd did with Giannis making this point guard type thing. I'd never seen it done before here locally. I mean, so I bought in. But with Chris Middleton, if people recognize that you have some attributes, you embrace it. Like, we think you're a good shooter. Step back a little bit. They're giving it to you. Take it. But you have to, some kind of way, you have to figure out that, why does it push you so much? And as a player, I never wanted a Bobby Knight to coach me.
Uh-oh.
No, didn't want him. Don't want to see him. I don't need you invading my space to coach me. Because if you're doing that, that means you really don't have nothing to say.
That means that you're getting mad just to get mad.
Right. You're trying to – somebody else on the team, you want to do this too, but you're doing it to me because you know I can handle it. But back up a little bit. Jason Kidd was trying to be that happy medium. And I think Milwaukee, to be honest with you, when Jason Kidd got here, you're relevant again because of Jason Kidd.
I remember that.
That's
night
why people were watching.
That night at Summerfest when that all went down, I was down there. It was Ludacris was on the Miller Lite Oasis. And the news traveling through that place that Jason Kidd was going to be the new head coach of the Bucks.
Hey, man, people got excited.
It was as close to the Bucks winning a playoff series that I had in my lifetime. And they did it one time, and I don't really remember it all that much.
I understand.
As sad as it is.
But you do know that's why some people may not like him, because they did the other coach wrong.
No doubt.
You know, they don't like that. And then there's a lot of other things that people don't like. Because I still like Mike McCarthy. If I run into people and they'll just kill him, then I bring up Jason Kidd. Oh, man. Just kill him.
Bucks fans, you have the opportunity to tell Jason Kidd thank you and that he deserved a lot of credit for the Bucks being the best team right now in the NBA. 414-799-1250 is how you do that. And if the Bucks win tonight, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's got some news on how you can get some free food tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Giannis tonight and my concern. When the Bucks win, win at this Wendy's. Guy. Giannis not playing tonight, by the way, with the Bulls, has that knee soreness again.
Let it rest.
Every time the Bucks win, you have 24 hours to go to any participating Wendy's. Get yourself a medium drink and then either a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger. Yes, I know it's a road game. Still counts. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's.
Does Jason Kidd deserve more credit than he gets for the Bucks being where they are today? 414-799-1250 and live at 105.7 FM, The Fan, Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. Glad we don't have cameras in these studios. Wendy's Big Show's back on The Fan. Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, myself, Baby Tausch, with you until 6 o'clock, 414-799-1250 is the phone number, at Leap36, at Gary Ellerson, at Sparky Radio, and at Bill Schmidt Radio if you want to get at us on Twitter, and also listen to us live at 1057FMTheFan.com and the Radio.com app. Take us anytime, anywhere, listening to 1057FM The Fan. Leroy, when you look at a coach like Jason Kidd, a guy that's in your grill, a guy that, like you said, has been there, and you discussed the difference between somebody that is just studying film, has busted their hind parts to get to where they are, to where that they can instruct at the game at the highest level. Would you believe, playing the game as great of a level as you did in the NFL, was that a concern for you if you would have gone into coaching to try to teach the game to people that just couldn't necessarily do the kind of things that you could do on a football field?
I think the key word is teaching. I think everybody can teach what they want to get done. But I think the difference is the results. Players who've played it before want the results faster, quicker, and stronger. Some coaches give you some space to grow. Some coaches want it right away. And when they don't get it, they react. I mean, I've seen AAU coaches choke players, run up in the stands and fight parents. They calm down. Just calm down. Just calm down. You're not going to reach a kid like that. But when you're coaching a man, it's different. Like, reading that story makes you think that how was – Chris Middleton receiving this information? Because if players, we all receive information, but what's the input now? And you just got to have a great relationship with your players, but it got to be a respect to where I'm only trying to help you. Because if a player who a Hall of Famer tells you, I don't like using that word, but
you suck.
Yeah, I don't like saying it. But if a coach tell you that, it means something different. And I think Jason Kidd, to me, in the long run, is going to benefit you because he's did it before. He knows it's going to be off nights. He knows it's going to be soreness here. He knows your knee may be sore, back may be sore, you know. But coaches and fans may say you're soft. You just ain't playing. So there's the happy medium you got to do to get the most out of players.
Kendrick's on the north side. Kendrick, does Jason Kidd deserve more credit than he gets?
No. He doesn't, and I'll say this. Maybe he should have been a assistant coach because, you know, some of the things he was teaching, he's trying to get these guys to do on the side. But from the day he came in, I don't know what his game plan was. You know, you bring in Dele maybe the next year. Snell, you get rid of Brandon Knight when at the time he was our most aggressive player. You bring in Monroe. I did like that, but if you had a plan put together, you could see that Giannis, who was the best player, was still a driver, and Greg Monroe clogged up the game. I mean, the lane. I just didn't understand what he was doing offensively or defensively, and as making these, growing these young guys. Now, Middleton should not get a pass. Your coach, now, who knows where the but? Well, they got the best record, so I don't want to say this, but
right.
It could help even more later on if Middleton would have bought right in. So he should get a pass, but I think Kidd should be an assistant, but I had no idea what he was doing offensively or defensively.
Appreciate the call.
And Steve, you can get down with that.
Appreciate
that,
it.
That was, we knew what they were doing defensively. It just wasn't working.
You hated it ever since it started.
Hated it. Hated it from year two on, Jason Kidd. The hair on fire defense, I called it. Running and trapping and trying to recover. And it was, you spent so much energy on the defensive side of the floor, you were spent on the other side of the floor. And you saw it. When it worked well in that one game against Toronto, it was a masterpiece. You're like, holy crap, if they can play like this. And that night on postgame, I said, I don't think they can do this for the rest of the series. I don't think they can expend this much energy for the rest of the series on the defensive side of the floor and win. They're going to be spent. And that's exactly what played out in that series. They were spent. And it killed them. And I wasn't the only one that thought this. There were other people within that organization that agreed with me. So when they decided to move on from Jason Kidd, I wasn't surprised at all because he was being stubborn about things and not wanting to change. Remember the famous alleged meeting that occurred with Jason Kidd and the analytics department or wherever, and whatever the case was, where Kidd didn't want to hear anything they had to say,
right.
Didn't care what they had to say. I'm doing it my way. I play in the league. I'm a Hall of Famer. You all are a bunch of computer nerds. You do what you want. I'm going to do what I want. I'm the damn basketball coach. And that was the beginning of the end, too. I think after that meeting, his fate was pretty much sealed once he went back at him at that point. Can't say I probably would have been much different had I been in his situation, but that was pretty much the end. And I, by all accounts, Budenholzer obviously, you know, wraps his arms around the analytics aspect of it. And Chris Middleton must be buying into it because the strength of his game, he's just thrown into the trash to try and play the way they want.
And to Kendrick's point, Sparky, when you look at Jason Kidd and how he developed as a coach and some of the more off-putting parts of Jason Kidd's personality, I guess is the best way to put it, some of the ways that he is a difficult person to get along with, do you think that would have changed and his ability to be the Bucks head coach would have been better suited had he gotten an opportunity to be an assistant coach before he went and took over that Brooklyn team right away?
Not necessarily, because even with the Brooklyn thing, remember he knocked threw the glass of water or whatever it was in the first half of that season on purpose to try and get gameplay stopped. Everybody lost their minds on Jason Kidd for that. They were horrible in the beginning of the season. And that was their go-for-it season in Brooklyn that year. That was when
they traded like 19 first-round picks.
Right, and they were trying to get all the old guys to play together and try and win the Eastern Conference. And in the second half of that season, that team played a hell of a lot better and gave LeBron James all he could handle in a seven-game series. They lost, but they pushed him as hard as anybody else pushed him in the playoffs that year. And then, obviously, Kidd wanted all the power, didn't get it. So then onward and upward to the Milwaukee Bucks in that deal they did behind Larry Drew's back. And then, of course, they denied saying that Kidd had all that power, that you know, it was John Hammond, still the general manager, and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, well, everybody knows that Jason Kidd had a significant amount of power at the end of the day, and that's why he wanted to come here with his boy Mark Lazary running the show. So, you know, it is what it is. It played out the way it wanted to play out. Those that hate Jason Kidd will always hate Jason Kidd and think he's the worst coach in the NBA, unless he goes and wins somewhere else. Then it would be difficult for them to argue that. But in order for him to win somewhere else, he's going to have to change schematically what he did when he was in Milwaukee. That has to change for sure.
And he gets a lot of credit for Giannis becoming the ball handler and the primary offensive set starter, I guess you could say, and where
right.
He was designing sets where Giannis would be at the top of the key. This is from Westgate Superbook. Giannis has officially now passed James Harden today as the leader and the favorite, odds-on favorite, at -250 to win the MVP over James Harden. Let's get to Trell on the north side of Milwaukee. Trell, does Jason Kidd deserve more credit for this whole Bucks team being in first place?
Hey, how you gentlemen doing?
All right.
Good, man.
Hey, yeah, Kidd deserves more credit. I mean, I've been saying that. If he doesn't get credit for anything else, he has to get credit for Giannis. After reading that article, I think you got to give him credit for Chris Middleton, too.
For sure.
To some degree. It's
yep.
So bad that Middleton didn't accept the coaching, and making me think that he's not as tough-minded as maybe I would like out of a player on my team. But I don't really care for Jason Kidd right now, because I think the only reason his name is coming up in the Lakers coaching search is they're trying to find a way to see if they can get Giannis. Because if you recall, Magic Johnson his first tampering fine was about who?
Mm-hmm. It was about Giannis.
And that's the only reason why I could see Jason Kidd's name coming up as being in viable position to be the Lakers coach. It's because they're trying to get a T-lead in to see if they can have a shot at pulling Giannis up out of here. So I'm keeping my eye on that.
Appreciate the call, Terrell. It's a point that, frankly, I didn't think about because I thought they were okay with LeBron.
Right.
Didn't think they would want LeBron and Giannis on the same floor. And
LeBron's
then again,
getting older.
I think about it. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Right. Right?
Like, why would you not want those two on the same floor together?
Yeah.
With AD. All three of them.
Wow. There's Anthony Mandela just killing them. They don't need him, too.
They didn't need Giannis, period, but you brought it up.
Leroy's just sitting there with the biggest grin on his face. Let's get Trav and Brown Deer in here.
I just love when y'all do my work for me.
Does Jason Kidd deserve more credit than he gets, Trav?
You betcha. You know, I mean, Chris Middleton, I mean, it's growing pains, right? Chris didn't want to shoot the three, Jason Kidd wanted him to shoot the three, and then he didn't want Giannis to shoot the three. Giannis maybe could have started shooting the three, and then we wouldn't be having this talk about practice. But, he got hosed, you know.
He tell it how it is.
Just Trav through there?
Trav, what you got going on today, man?
He's there.
What?
What you got going on today, Trav?
I'm not shoveling snow, I'll tell you that. It's
you
cool,
will tomorrow. But,
right.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah. All right, Trav. Tomorrow, hey, keep it locked on the fan. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you till 6 o'clock, man.
Hey, bye.
That's all right. Good. Bye. There's Trav. I like when Trav calls in. He always just brings some energy. Yeah. Always puts a smile on my face. And something that put a smile on my face, guys, this year in the NFL apparently might get taken away.
Not a surprise. That's what the NFL does.
Seriously, can we just have some fun?
Just waiting for the XFL.
It's supposed to be football. It's supposed to be fun. Wendy's Big Show is always fun, and it's back after this. Show Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, the radio.com app, and 105.7 FM, TheFan.com. 414-799-1250 is how you get in touch with us here on the Wendy's Big Show. We have two former Packers, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, C. Sparky Pfeiffer, myself, Bill Schmid, Baby Tausch, and Anthony Mandela, intern Joel on the other side, or intern Yoel, because the J is silent.
J is silent.
Now, we got two guys in here that played in the league. Both of you guys have scored professional touchdowns before. Getting into the end zone is one thing that in my long football career I was never able to do. I was never able to score a touchdown.
At least you had the mask.
It's a pretty cool thing, right? Like scoring a touchdown is an awesome feeling. I got to imagine. And now
that's
the NFL.
Only time when girls watch when you score touchdowns.
Now the NFL is going to try to ruin everyone's fun again.
Allegedly.
And allegedly they want to cut down and rein in some of the touchdown celebrations going on in the NFL. Gary, can they just let us have some fun? It's a game, first off. It's a professional sporting event. I don't care if you score a touchdown and everybody sits down in the end zone. They bring out biscuits and gravy and everybody eats breakfast in the middle of the game. If you're celebrating a touchdown, go and have some fun.
Yeah, right. I like the way it was last year. I don't know why they keep messing around with this rule. I mean, just let the guys have fun. It worked last year. Now, the only way it doesn't work if now the head coaches are complaining, because now it's out there. Everybody's doing all these guys going to want to go and do it. And I mean, I don't know if they're getting a little pushback, Leroy, from
blowback
from the head coaches. They don't want these guys doing all this stuff. I was fine with it. I mean, I was against it at first because I don't like all that funny in my football like that.
Oh, you to get off my lawn.
Yeah, bro. I mean, you had to be playing hopscotch and hide and go seek. Yeah.
Bowling.
Bowling and hiding the phone and, you know, all that. I mean, I'm good. You know, throw a touchdown. You know, spike it. Do a little Billy White shoot with Johnson if you want to.
No. Do the leap.
Leap.
Yeah,
do leap into the stands.
Yeah, do that.
Dunk it on the goalpost. They cut that out.
Yeah, well, Jimmy Graham messed that up for everybody. He towed one down.
As he should.
I think, was that Jimmy Graham that
towed
one down?
He started that.
And then they had to talk the whole
game.
He's
the only one I
Tony Gonzalez used to always do it, too.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez did it, too, yeah.
Jimmy Graham was.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez was doing it, too.
Now, Leroy, I know you got. I know the fumble Ruski.
Yeah.
You got hawked, so you didn't get to celebrate the touchdown.
I was never fast. Steve, what was my 40 time?
Like 4.56.
Thank you. I wouldn't outrun nobody because I just want to be in the play.
You'd outrun me with that speed. I can tell you that much.
But listen, get off the fence with this NFL.
Yes.
Get off. Let them do it. Leave it alone. Go figure out some other rule.
Something else. Well, no, there's all this other stuff they need to be doing.
Yeah, it's a lot of things they can do with safety, but go. Yeah. Just go keep watching the Alliance League or whatever and see what rules you want. Leave that alone. Let the guys – I guarantee you the coaches who complain about this are the coaches of teams who are terrible, okay? Because your team is good. You're always scoring. You're laughing. Put the camera on them. They're But when they get it's getting done on them, now that's a big deal. Owners are the same way. The ones who are not winning may have a problem with it. At the same time, the fans like it. Or I have something that could work. Just give them a time clock that they can see.
Like you put score a 15 seconds in there.
You got to score a touchdown. If you over that 15, 10 seconds, whatever you got, unsportsmanlike. I'm with that. Now it's done. Move on to something else. Because it's funny. It's fun. Guys look forward to it.
Right.
I think. I don't want other kids doing it in the little leagues. It's just for the NFL.
Oh, see, I disagree. I
don't want to see little kids doing this.
I want to see as many little youth games. They got kids playing duck goose, and the offensive linemen are getting involved.
Guy, do you want a little 8-year-old flipping a bat?
Yes, it's
stop
cool.
It. I don't want to see that.
This game is hard.
Steve, you want to see a little kid flip 10-year-old, 12 flipping a bat?
No.
You, Gary.
You know how I feel about that.
Okay,
he's absolutely
don't
against it.
Come on, cuz.
No, all right. I don't want to see
don't
that.
Don't make me get up out my seat.
I don't want to see that.
Now, Rummy likes that kind
Rummy
of stuff.
Rummy loves that stuff. Yeah.
So
all
food.
The taunting. Mm-hmm. More taunting, the better in youth
sports.
So maybe
it's the millennials that like that.
Right. I think some of it is.
What
I think
does
some
Mike
of it's
Trout
flair.
Do? Does he flip his bat? He hit a lot of home runs.
Mike Trout doesn't
carry it down.
Pimp a whole lot of home runs.
Well, if he don't do it, then don't do it, little leaguer.
But it's a game. This game is hard. This game is not easy. When you score a touchdown, you're going to score what? Antonio Brown led the league in touchdowns scored last year. Scored like 14 times. This game is difficult.
Like, Devontae Adams had like 13.
He had like 13 touchdowns. You should have something different every time. Right. Aaron Jones goes out there, busts out the Soulja Boy.
Oh, I love it.
Loved it. I would be fine if every single guy on the Packers roster, first touchdown next year, every single one of them jumps into the crowd.
I think I'm a little hypocritical, Steve, because I don't want you to flip a bat and stare in the.
But you want
out.
Everybody to jump into the stands and get beer poured.
Maybe
on
I should not even be in this segment.
Sparky,
I'm a little biased.
Is it ridiculous that the NFL wants to rein in touchdown celebrations?
What they really want is they want the guys from the sidelines quit running onto the field to celebrate with their teammates.
Yeah, right. Stay out there if you're on the field. But I agree. Right. Yeah, I'm okay.
And they're
that.
Saying it'll be a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
So if you go running onto the field to go celebrate and it becomes a 30-man show out there in the end zone, they don't want to do it. But I guess my thing is, why does it matter? I mean, unless there's fights starting when all these guys are running onto the field between them and the defense, who cares? And I don't remember there being any fights last year, but I don't remember much of anything lately. I don't remember there being fights last year between defensive players and offensive players during a celebration. Do you guys remember that?
No.
Fights breaking out? Mm-mm. So if the defense understands that that's what part of this is now, as part of the game, I don't see what the big issue is. Like, and half the time, they weren't even showing them on TV anyhow. Mm-hmm. You go in a commercial, you wouldn't see them. Maybe you see them when you got back, they'd show a replay of what they did.
Yeah.
For the most part, you're not even seeing them. So it's not delaying the game. It's not making the game any longer. I don't think it's a time issue. It's not affecting guys getting upset on the defensive side of the football, and all of a sudden there's brawls breaking out after touchdown celebrations. That's not occurring. I just don't see what the point of it is. I guess that's what I don't understand. Were guys getting hurt running out there? Did that happen? Did I miss that part of it?
I didn't see any of that.
I didn't hear anybody getting hurt running out there.
What's the big deal here? I don't get this at all.
It's once again
just controlling.
Right, Roger Goodell wanting to control something that he didn't apparently have too much control of last year.
But he's the one let him introduce this, though. So I don't know. Somebody got to him.
Well, because they probably told him that he could make money doing it, and then he was
a sponsor?
I'm down. Let's do it.
I think that's brilliant if he can get his sponsor.
And then he realized that he didn't get a bonus check for it.
Brought to you by Pick and Save.
There you go.
There it is.
Keep the money. Keep it.
Where are you going to be at this weekend, Leroy? What do we got going on here?
I'll be in Caledonia.
It's Monday. You don't know where he's going to be at this weekend. You sure?
I'll be in Caledonia, man.
He knows.
When?
He knows exactly where he's going to
be. 11-1. I'll give you the details. It's a team.
I'll give you the details later. Okay.
Yeah, cause I don't
I'll be in Caledonia. Details later. So details to follow.
Because I don't want to hijack the show. But.
Yeah, well, you do every day anyway.
I don't know why you're right about that. That's true. But I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to get this sponsor and keep that money, Steve.
Yeah, I don't know.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
No. That would be a smart thing to do.
Yeah, just, hey, man, this celebration is brought to you by somebody. Yeah. Get a couple $1 million.
Let every team sell their own celebration.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So like, if they want to sell it locally to Miller or whoever, then let Miller buy it. And it's sold to the local team's deal and let the team make money out of it.
T.O. could have had his end zone celebration where he signed the football could have been brought to you by Sharpie.
There you go.
Yep.
Right?
The popcorn thing he did. Oh, he could have made
Joe
a
Horn,
money,
the cell phone deal. Yeah.
Yep.
He could have made a lot of money.
Well, at least Robert Brooks put out the song Jump in the Stands. He's the only smart one.
Yeah, and now
you can still get that on iTunes too, I think.
With all of the stuff that you do, you didn't think to make a song about it, man?
That was in the 90s, man. The 90s. Hey, man, speaking of the 90s, why'd they do Ja Rule like that? Y'all should stop this stuff, people.
I will put it out there that I did try to reach out to Ja Rule's people to try to see if we can get him on the big show to let him clear the air about his performance this weekend. He said, no, I think I'm all good.
Did they pay him for that, Steve?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he got paid for that. Yeah.
Man, they could let Man Gary went down there and did that, cuz we could have lip synced like Millie Vanilli.
No.
You got that one, Gary?
Yeah.
Millie Vanilli?
Yeah.
They still play that song, too.
Ah, baby.
Not that one. Ooh.
Don't you lose that number.
Hey, we could have made that. They probably gave him, what, about $25,000?
I don't know, but
you
I know
this kind
that
of stuff for the average and you don't know?
No, they give me the script, man. They give me the microphone. They give me the script. They say,
go out there and be funny. So how much should we pay Styx? What do you think, Daniel Tosh? What do you think we should pay Styx?
You know what? Well, I've listened to about three songs that they had, so I'd probably $25.
You work at a radio station. They should get your input.
Gary, why don't you go tell all the nice people in the city of Milwaukee listening to the Wendy's Big Show about your friends at Hyundai West Dallas and all the great work they do over there.
They do great work. Today, you and I, we did our phoner today and... What do we call that? Phone meeting?
I like conference call. I don't know what that means.
Phoner, the conference call that we normally do every day at 12 o'clock and discuss all the happenings. And once I got done with that, I called my good friends over at International Autos. Hey, got to bring my car in. Doesn't sound right. So it doesn't sound right.
Mm.
Bring it in, Gary. We'll check it out. We don't know if we can get to today, but bring it in. If you can leave it here, we most certainly will take a look at it. So I took my car over there to the service department today and had them take a look at it. And, you know, sometimes we forget that, you know, when we go buy a car, which is great, we forget about the service on the back end. Basically what ends up happening is when you buy the car, you sometimes never see those people again. But you forget about the service on the back end. You forget about the oil changes. You forget about all the specials that they have going. You forget about if my tire's not right. You forget about my good friends over at Hyundai International Autos on Highway 100 and Arthur Avenue will take care of all your needs when it comes to getting your car fixed. I mean, they're absolutely incredible. Steve can vouch for it. Guys, go check them out today. Yes, we want to sell your car because we do that out front. But I'm just saying this to you today. The back end is just as good as the front end. Go check my good friends out on Highway 100, Arthur Avenue, Hyundai, West Dallas, and that's from our good friend Dan Richards.
Brewers in the top half of the ninth inning, third Cactus League game. Bryce Terang, last year's first-round pick, into the ball game. He had a couple of innings at second base, a nice base hit, came around, scored a run. The Truth, Lucas Ursag, a homer, RBI double, and Hot Stove Weekly comes at you coming up at 6 o'clock
Thanks,
tonight.
Struck out too, you forgot
Jerry Augustine will join the show at 6:15, myself and Tim Allen, and Eric Thames did. I think he struck out actually twice.
Both times?
Yeah,
I only saw one of them.
Yeah. He did have a nice catch, grabbed right over the railing. So, I mean, number 7 is poised
in
for a big
year. In foul territory.
Yeah, it was in foul territory. Yes, it was. You hosted a party this weekend, Sparky.
Birthday party, yeah. In our nicely redone J&J basement area, yeah.
Can I hear the horror stories next?
I don't know if it's a horror story, but I can tell you about it.
Oh, perfect. It was a good party. We'll hear about it next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Wendy's Big Show, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, and the Radio.com app. Gary Ellerson, he played for the Wisconsin Badgers, played running back also for the Green Bay Packers. Leroy Butler's here. He played for the Green Bay Packers 12 years, world number 36, Leap 36, invented the Lambeau Leap. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, he's been at this radio station ever since it started, hosts the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, presented by Screamin' Sicilian Pizza, which will be back tonight. After the Bucks take on the Chicago Bulls down at the United Center, I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. No one really cares about that. We want to know about Steve Sparky Pfeiffer this weekend, hosting a party, and apparently everything went very, very well.
Yeah, I thought it went pretty good. After all, don't have a very big place, not a lot of people invited per se at the end of the day.
Yeah, I didn't make the guest list either.
But Robert's Specialty Meats and that beef tenderloin they gave us was unbelievably good. Had the beef tenderloin sandwiches. Smells you sauce. Oh, it was absolutely delicious. I got a couple birthday cakes as well for Jackson. So that was good. Had enough cake to feed everybody at the party. So that was fun. The highlight of the party probably was my mother, who decided to buy Jackson a drum set, a real, real drum set.
Oh, no.
For the house, which.
Oh, no.
And then they left, and Devlin, the oldest, put the drum set together for him. Now he has been banging on the drums and cymbal and so forth since that great day. He's been banging. And I have to have, we live in a townhouse, so there's obviously people on the other side of the townhouse. And he gets up at like, Jim gets up at like 3:30 in the morning. So he goes to bed at like 8:30 or so during the week. So
Jimmy.
And I thought it was just going to be for Jackson, who officially turns 3 tomorrow. But what I found out was, the other two, 12 and 14-year-old, also want to bang on the drums set as much as the 3-year-old does. So now we're going to have to establish some rules of no banging on the drums after 8 o'clock during the week, 9 o'clock on the weekends. And it's right there in the living room because, like I said, we don't have a ton of space. We could put it in the basement, and maybe that's where it'll end up eventually in our redone room down there. But, yeah, so that's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been a good time.
Can I just say this?
You ever had a drum set in your house?
That's where you're... Your mother says, I'm going to get his ass back.
This isn't about that, though. It is, but it's not. It's not about me. It's about what I did to my brother and his kids.
Yeah.
Because I bought my brother's kids multiple drum sets.
Yeah, exactly.
When they were
exactly.
Up.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, so she got me back for that.
I'm just put this right here. Just set this down right here.
Have some fun with this.
Yeah. And she, what the great part about it was, before the party, she told me, and Kay, she's like, you know, she's like, Jackson's going to love it.
Yeah.
You're probably going to hate it.
Oh, yeah.
But I have the receipt so you can take it back.
Can't take it back.
I'm good luck with that.
I go, so let me see if I got this straight.
Can't
You're telling me Jackson's going to love whatever this is, but I can take it back.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. I'm like, I don't think so. Whatever it is, it is. That's fine. The other thing that was fun that was given to him this weekend was a trampoline for indoors that he can stand and bounce on and hold on to like this rail that's on top of the trampoline. And I said, well, this will be good for outside. And everybody's like, no, that's for inside. I said, no, it's going to be good for outside because we're not doing this inside by any stretch of the imagination. So he'll have that for outside. Then my dad got him a T-ball set. And another bat, another big wiffle ball. But of course, he wants to play with all that inside. That's right. Not happening either. So we got that for outside. Got a bunch of PJ Masks stuff, like the capes and the masks.
Nice.
And all that for him to wear, and all the little doohickey thingies that go with PJ Masks, like the mobiles that they have and the characters and all that. And yeah, he got a lot of cool stuff for sure. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I was reminiscing with some of my friends when we used to play wiffle ball Monday nights in the living room. Oh, man, good times. Good times.
You never rented that place.
Yes, we rented that place.
And that would make sense if you're renting that place. I would never do such a thing, but that would make sense from you because you were in college and it's a college
house. It was fun.
House.
Lay off the ceiling fan at the same time.
He also got Hot Wheels, his first Hot Wheels, and then he got a Hot Wheels carrying case to carry him in. And it's like a little suitcase. So the handle pulls up, mm-hmm. and then you pull it behind you, and it rolls. So that went over well. We packed the suitcase or the Hot Wheels box case with full of the cars, and then
comes in a full suitcase now?
Well, it looks like a little travel case, yeah. And it's got the yellow pull-up thing, so you can pull it behind you and roll it. So he decided this morning while I was in the kitchen doing dishes that he was going to pull it into the kitchen and possibly play in the kitchen with all the Hot Wheels on the floor. That was until he dropped it on his toes. And then screamed forever and ever and ever. And then decided he was done playing for the morning and sat on the couch and watched TV the rest of the morning.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll
do it.
And here's the thing. You know, the other two boys like him. You know, so he's getting more banging on the drum than usual. Because the other two boys are going to want to hit it too. So
yeah, and they hit it louder and harder.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. A little bit more oomph.
So when he gets on there, he grimaces and starts grunting and just as hard as he can on the damn things.
No, yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, at least you get to do the Bucks postgame show tonight. You won't have to listen
to it. It's after. I told you, 8 o'clock, it's done.
It's done.
So last night, we got to 8 o'clock. I said, you're done. Give me the sticks.
And
we're
just rip the sticks away out of the hands?
Yeah. And they're real drumsticks, too. Yeah. They're not like fake drumsticks. They're real drumsticks. It's a real drum set. It's got a tom, a snare, a bass drum, and a cymbal.
I don't know what any of those words mean, but they all sound loud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a real drum set, dude.
Giannis officially out tonight for his knee soreness. You guys will touch more on that pick and save Milwaukee.
Yep.
Pro Hoops postgame show presented by Screamin' Sicilian Pizzas tonight.
Bella in here tonight with me.
That's going to be fun. Can't wait. Bucks and Bulls. And on the other side of this break, in Anthony Mandela's Sports Flash, it's Great Lake Dragaway's Pick a Lane. We reset the biggest topics on today's Wendy's Big Show. Give you the final say on them at 414-799-1250. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.